More than 150 people in Green Bay were sent duplicate ballots in two elections this year, and now the city clerk has been placed on leave while an investigation plays out. It's Friday, July 10th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, thousands of Wisconsin residents saw their student loan payments skyrocket this month. Plus, members of Madison's Mexican-American community recently came together for an annual basketball tournament that celebrates their indigenous roots.
It started off with one of our friends, Ixel, and her sister. There was no girls playing, and she decided, like, hey, how about we make a team?
Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
Green Bay has placed its city clerk on administrative leave. As Joe Schultz reports, this came the same day that the Wisconsin Elections Commission voted to investigate how her office issued duplicate ballots in two elections this year.
Green Bay mistakenly issued more than 150 duplicate ballots in April. Months later, the city made a similar mistake for the August primary. The Wisconsin Elections Commission will investigate whether those errors violated state law. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich says City Clerk Celestine Jeffries has been placed on leave pending that investigation. Commissioner Ann Jacobs says she was concerned when the city made the mistake the first time.
But then for the exact same error to happen a second time, weeks later, is unconscionable. And we need, I think, as an organization, to investigate exactly what was going on.
The commission also directed the city clerk to submit a plan to prevent similar errors in the future. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
At the beginning of this month, thousands of Wisconsin residents saw their student loan payments increase, many seeing their monthly bill more than double. Those increases are tied to the elimination of the Saving on a Valuable Education, or SAVE, plan. Nearly one in five Wisconsin student loan borrowers were in the income-driven program, which was discontinued as part of President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. Special education teacher Zach Beckman says his monthly student loan payment jumped to $733 a month, up from $250. His wife's loan cost increased as well. He says that means they're going to have to cut back on other spending.
You know, it's a car payment, so we're not going to get a new car. That's the type of stuff it would delay, you know, doing a home renovation, stuff like that, and that's all stuff that would be going into the economy.
A study by the Federal Reserve looked at the economic impact of student loan payments following their pause during the pandemic. It found that for every $10,000 in debt, consumer spending dropped by about $630 a year. Another member of the Milwaukee Police Department is facing charges for allegedly misusing the department's license plate reader camera system. Evan Casey has the details.
A former Milwaukee police officer pleaded guilty to attempted misconduct earlier this year. He admitted using the Flock safety camera system to track the vehicles of a person he was dating and their ex. This week, an internal affairs detective was charged with using the same system improperly. He allegedly tracked the vehicles of two people. Chrissy Fung is a Milwaukee Fire and Police Commissioner.
I found the allegation unspeakably troubling, in particular, the fact that this is a member of the Internal Affairs Division.
The attorney representing the detective was unavailable for an interview Thursday. Some Wisconsin police departments have already moved to cut ties with Flock Safety, the company behind the license plate reader cameras. Residents have raised privacy concerns about how the data can be accessed and shared. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
State appellate judges will not hear an appeal in the case against the father of a Madison school shooter. Jeffrey Rupnow faces multiple felonies related to the shooting. Prosecutors say he gave his daughter access to two handguns, which she brought to Abundant Life Christian School in December of 2024. Rupnow's 15-year-old daughter used one of those guns to fatally shoot two other people before shooting and killing herself. Rupnow's attorney has previously argued that all of the charges against him should be dismissed. That included arguing that prosecutors had omitted relevant facts while trying to establish probable cause, and alleging that the charges violated Rupnow's Second Amendment rights. In May, a Dane County judge declined to dismiss the charges. Rupnow asked to appeal that decision, but Wisconsin's Court of Appeals was not convinced. The case against Rupnow is set for trial in March of 2027. Local offices of the Farm Service Agency lost 15% of county staff in Wisconsin last year. As Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports, across the country, there are fewer FSA workers to help farmers and ranchers.
The Farm Service Agency lost 8% of its county staff last year. That's on top of losing 21% of its federal jobs. The National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition filed an open records request for the data. Duncan Orlander with the group says losing county staff is a problem because they're hired locally to help farmers directly.
If you need a loan, if you want to expand your operation, if you need to buy a new piece of equipment, if you need a loan to be able to buy seed for that season.
And the group is concerned that the presidential budget request recommends less money for farm service staff. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
SSM Health is challenging the results of a recent union election at one of its hospitals in Madison. Nurses at SSM Health St. Mary's Hospital voted overwhelmingly to form a union last month. Ahead of the vote, the health system challenged the eligibility of the hospital's charge nurses to vote in the election. And after the vote, SSM Health filed objections with the National Labor Relations Board. SSM Health argues that charge nurses should not have been allowed to participate in the election or the electioneering process because they're supervisors. Managers and supervisors generally cannot vote in union elections. The union says charge nurses take care of patients and are not supervisors. Zachariah Amro is a registered nurse at SSM Health St. Mary's. He says the votes in question are not enough to change the outcome.
Even if all the core charges voted no, it wouldn't have been enough to sway election results. So it is frustrating from our end that SSM is challenging the election.
The nurses say the health system's objections are nothing more than a delay tactic. Coming up, we'll hear about a unique basketball tournament in Madison. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio stays connected with the whole state. Thanks to its network of 8 bureaus, with reporters on the ground across Wisconsin, WPR provides a news service that connects with issues that matter to your life. Stay in touch with WPR.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. As people across the globe tune in to cheer on their country's soccer team in the World Cup this summer, one Wisconsin community is competing in a different kind of tournament. Members of Madison's Mexican-American community recently came together for an annual basketball tournament that celebrates their indigenous roots. Reporter Jonas Tiarino has more.
Scores of camping chairs and event tents surround the basketball courts at Elver Park on Madison's west side. The smell of carne asada rides a light breeze as basketballs arc through the air against the backdrop of thick summer clouds. This is Quiotepec in Wisconsin, a basketball tournament hosted annually for more than 10 years.
Estamos organizando un pequeño evento de basketball.
That's Guillermo Martinez Melgar, one of the event's organizers. He says while participating teams tend to be from the Midwest and sometimes as far as California, the thing that connects them all is their shared roots in Oaxaca, Mexico.
Somos paisanos que radicamos en este bonito lugar de Madison.
Angelica Navarro Gomez is the captain of Madison-based team Las Alebrijes. They've been playing together for 3 years.
It started off with one of our friends, Ixel. And her sister, there was no girls playing, and she decided, like, hey, how about we make a team? And she made the offer, and we decided, you know what, like, let's give it a shot. We never play basketball, so we decided, hey, let's just give it an opportunity and see if we can grow from there. And We just never looked back.
Her sister, Marisela Gomez Castellano, says Oaxaqueños are known within Mexico for their special interest in basketball.
Creo que mucho es orgullo y de poder representar de donde eres.
The region hosts a decades-old tournament called La Copa Benito Juárez, named after Mexico's first indigenous president. That tournament attracts teams from across Oaxaca and the Mexican diaspora in the United States. Gomez Castellano says playing basketball in Oaxaca is tied to the community's indigenous identity. And while the community feels pride in bringing their customs to Madison, she says this year feels different. Increased enforcement by ICE across the country and in Wisconsin is driving Latinos to be more cautious about how they show up in the community.
Gatherings and communities are just like going back to what it was before, like more underground, more like local, more low-key. And so, yeah, it was like we did publicize the whole tournament, but we also were, you know, a little scared, like, would this, you know, attract other non-people that we don't want, you know? And so then, but yeah. But so far, I think we're trying to resist and we're doing our best.
For Gomez Castellano, resisting looks like showing up and participating in communities in spite of what could happen.
And I think that's also beautiful and inspiring to see that regardless of all the fear, the violence that our community is facing, they're still showing up and being positive about it, and I think that's really inspiring.
After six games, Madison's Las Alebrijes defeated Keotepec, Minnesota to become women's champions. Milwaukee's Sierra Mije took first place in the men's bracket.
Jonas Tierino brought us that story about the Keotepec in Wisconsin basketball tournament. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. You can find more Wisconsin Life online at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. And let's get a quick check of your weekend forecast in here. A mix of sunshine and clouds today with highs in the 80s, but it could be a little cooler near Lake Michigan. Overnight, lows down in the 50s and 60s. Some spotty fog, but clear otherwise. Highs back into the 80s tomorrow with a mix of sunshine and clouds. Even warmer Sunday, still in the 80s, but heat index values in the south could be in the 90s. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.